podcast.
No, I'm about to throw my phone against the wall. I don't really care.
You want
to
talk about it?
Kinda, not really. I don't understand why this phone does this.
What is it doing?
Like, I spend so much time putting hashtags, @, the videos, and then I go to upload and Instagram says, oh, something went wrong. Please try again later. And then I click that little thing to try to post it again, and it still doesn't work. It's just frozen. I'm going to take this phone, smash it into a million pieces, and never buy a phone again.
You can't put hashtags and @ unless you're on the phone, so I don't think that's a good idea.
That's okay. I'll invest in a hologram. Anyways, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another podcast with Chris and Jesse. How are you guys all doing today? What's going on, Jesse?
I just watched the new Netflix original movie, The Dirt, about the biopic of American rock band Motley Crue. It's actually a pretty interesting movie. It's definitely a little entertaining if you want to catch it.
Sounds kind of strange. Never heard of that. What is it about?
It's a biopic about the rock band Motley Crue. You never heard of Motley Crue?
No. Is that a band?
Yeah, it's like a super famous American rock band that, like, from the 80s until 2015 was their last show. They just, like, fucking rocked hard and partied and sex, drugs, and rock and roll. That's basically what happened. And, yeah, I don't know. It was just really interesting.
Oh, yeah. That sounds cool.
Yeah, it was interesting. Machine Gun Kelly was in it, and I love him as a rapper, and he's an all right actor. But
yeah, MGK's a beast.
Yeah, he plays one of the rock legends, Tommy Lee. But I never really listened to Motley Crue's music. But I don't know. I just kind of started watching it, and I got sucked into it, so I thought it was pretty good.
I used to listen to MGK before he even like was famous or blown up.
Yeah, me too. I love that man.
All of his mixtapes, that was the shit. His mixtapes were good before he, like, his stuff is good, but it's not as good as when I used to go on DatPiff. I don't know if you've ever heard of that website.
No.
But it's called DatPiff, and basically it's just a website filled with mixtapes, and I would go on that. They have an app on the iPhone, and I would just go on it and just get all of his mixtapes and whoever else's mixtapes, like B.O.B. and shit, the stuff that was actually good before. Now they're not really that good anymore, but they used to be bangers, and listen to them while training.
Yeah. I want to see MGK live again.
Yeah. I think the next person I want to see live would be Drake whenever he goes back on tour. And I don't know who else really. I don't have a firm person set on that I really love to listen to. I just like music. I'll listen to really anybody, but Drake and Eminem would be like two people that I would love to see live.
I don't think I'd want to see Drake live. I don't think that'd be interesting.
Why?
I don't know, because he's just like so big now that it's like, oh, okay. I don't know.
What does that even mean? He's so big now. What the hell?
I don't know. He's just like a big name now, and his tickets are expensive as fuck, and like he just has such a brand behind him that it's like, oh, I mean, I don't know. Like, his tickets are like $200 a piece. Like, fuck that.
Not really. I was going to buy tickets for the Air Canada Center to see him live. And like it depends where you see him, right? Like, if you go and see him front up face to face, like right in the front of the stage, then yeah, you're going to be spending a lot of money. But I remember when I was going to buy Kanye West tickets, because he was like fucking, he's bigger than Drake in my opinion. And
Kanye West?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But his tickets were pretty expensive. Like, I remember when he did his like world tour concert, and he had like, do you remember seeing his thing in stage where he was like standing on top of a massive, it was like a floating stage. Have you seen that?
No.
Okay. Well, Kanye did like a thing, and it was like a floating stage, and it would move around the whole arena. And in the middle of the arena under the stage was like just a bunch of people, and it'd be a mosh pit while Kanye was rapping and stuff. It was nuts.
That sounds like a lot going on.
Yeah, like the stage was, it was floating, and there was no, it was just in the middle of the whole arena. It was cool.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. That's weird.
Yeah. No, but other than that, I just got done training at the track, which is what I'm trying to upload on Instagram, but That was a great workout, actually. I feel really good. It was a solid 30 to 40 round max interval circuit, nonstop training. So.
True.
What?
I don't know. I love when people talk like that. I just find it funny. Well, it's not funny, but like you can make a meme out of it. It's like that super hypertrophy muscular, super high interval, nonstop, don't blah, da, da workout, you know?
What does that mean?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Anyway, no. So I did a high intensity interval at the track and it was dope. Like kind of like what I was doing when I was down in Florida at the university track, but this one was a little bit different. I kind of mixed it up. When are you training again?
Not tomorrow. I'm going to the gym later after this. I've had more free time. I had a bunch of exams I had to study for. I'm going to go to the gym before I go to work today.
What are you going to train?
I don't know. Probably chest and chest and arms. Depends on how busy the gym is. I usually work out whatever I need to work out, whatever is most convenient, depending on how busy the gym is. And then I just kind of schedule the rest of my week off of that.
That's a stereotypical workout. Oh, man, I'm just going to work out some chest and arms, you know.
Exactly. See, that's what I'm talking about, fitness. If I haven't been in the gym, that's what I'm going to hit.
Just chest and arms, that's it?
If I haven't been in the gym in a while, that's what I'm going to do when I get back. And then, like, obviously I would do, like, back later than legs the other day. I mean, we could argue about it, but I don't really want to, so.
You got to find a consistent schedule where you can make it to the gym daily.
Yeah. Sure thing, pal.
I mean, if that's something that you'd want to do daily, I don't know.
No, I don't want to work. I don't like to work out daily.
Is it just because it's not your free time or you just don't like to work out daily?
I just don't like to work out daily. It's not really my thing. I don't work out probably more than 5 days a week.
Well, that's not bad. 5 days a week, that's a grind still.
Yeah. But I've never really been one to work out daily. I used to be really good at it, but.
Are you like the only one out of your friends that works out? Because I've never actually heard you talk about anybody that you work out with or anything like that.
Yeah, pretty much. I have a buddy that works out and he's actually really jacked, but he doesn't live on campus. He moved off campus, so I just like don't really run into him anymore. So other than that, yeah, I'm pretty much the only one that really works out.
What about that guy that you were talking about that works at Chipotle or whatever that you were going to, you said he was like some football, he was into football or something. You guys were going to work out together. What happened to that?
Oh, I don't know. That kid quit like another week later and I was gone and I just haven't talked. I've never seen or talked to him since.
Huh?
Yeah.
That's not bad, I guess. Anything you got? Anything like planned in the next? Talk about your move to Gainesville. So you're gonna. When are you gonna be moving again?
In like a month. I still don't know exactly the date because I don't know. I have to move out 24 hours after my last exam, and I don't know my last exam. As far as I know, the last one's April 30th, but I know I have another one. I just don't know when it is yet, so I'm waiting to find out from my professor. What day that is.
That's good. That's really good. I don't think I'm going to be moving anywhere in the summer to any new destination. I mean, if I could, I would love to take a drive down to Florida with my girlfriend, but I don't think that's going to happen. We were going to until we made that Vegas trip. So I don't think, and plus I don't want to put all those miles on my car that I just got. I don't want it to fuck up. I'd already did fuck up. So I'm not willing to have it mess up again.
I was leaving work last night and there was a Quebecian in the driving and they didn't know what the fuck they were doing.
That's crazy, man. Like it's crazy to see how many people from Canada, like when we went to the Wetlandy Swamps, how many Canadians were in that parking lot? I was so surprised. I was like, holy shit, dude, Ontario, Quebec.
That was weird. No, they just like pulled out into the left lane and then like went 3 miles an hour. I'm like, this is Florida. You can't do that. Bounce. Keep going north, bro.
It really all depends on where you live, right? If you're like Quebec is a pretty big, it depends where you live in Quebec because there's cities in Quebec, but it all depends where you live, how you're going to drive. Like if you live in a place like Toronto, you're going to drive like a maniac. But if you live in a small city with only like 10 to 50,000 people that drive very slow, then they're not going to know how to drive in a different city.
Oh, obviously. But in Florida, we all drive like bats out of hell. So
Yeah, that was like LA too. I remember when I went to LA, there was fucking everyone was driving like 140 kilometers, which is like, I don't know, 90 miles, something like that, 80, 90.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was actually talking to my friend today, which really motivated me. His name's Jake. He's going to be, I'm pretty sure he's going to be in the Olympics. And I'll shout him out right now. His name's Jake Douse. If you guys want to check him out, Jake Douse, 8446 on Instagram. He's a very, very solid guy. Very, very, very good boxer, like really, really good boxer. Anybody he competes against, he either knocks them out or stops them. I remember he actually fought two of the guys that I work out with at the gym, and he stopped my one friend and then stopped the other guy as well. He's a beast, man. He's a fucking maniac. But anyway, long story short, he messaged me saying that he's going to Los Angeles in May, and he's actually going because he got inspired by me saying that I do my vlogs and like just fitness and all that stuff, and he really wants to start vlogging. So he's going to go to LA and kind of check out all of like the history behind boxing down there and kind of go hiking and just see and exploring, and he's going to start vlogging and he's going to make his first vlog down in LA. And he messaged me asking for advice and all that, and it's kind of inspiring that like I have a lot of people that are that inspired by my stuff to do that, especially go to LA like I did and kind of vlog and get all the gif down there, which is really cool. But no, he's a really solid guy, great boxer. I mean, I hope he goes professional. I know he's going to be going into the Olympics. He's already been to like a couple of like really high games and stuff for boxing, so it's pretty exciting to see what he does with his life.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
I'm going to ask him if he wants to be on this podcast because I want to hear his story and like how he all got started into boxing, because I know him, like I've known him in person. I've seen his fights and he's just unreal.
Well, good. How long did he say he was going to go for?
I didn't ask how long he was going to LA for, but he said he's going in May and he's going to start vlogging. Like he was asking me like what kind of camera I have, what camera he should get and what he should do. And
oh man, that's like the worst possible question to ask anybody.
It's not, I know. I was like, honestly, it doesn't really matter what you have. Like you can literally film with your phone. You don't have to have like, I told him, I was like, my camera costs like $800. Like, I don't think you need to spend that for your first vlog or for your first ever camera. Just get on your feet, do what you can do. Just make a video. And then once you get good, then you can start doing that more camera, high expensive stuff if you really want to, but it's not about the camera in my opinion.
Yeah, no, it's just a tool. Just like Casey Neistat says, this is rack of Canon 80Ds on the back shelf that are all broken and fucked up.
That's what I know. I seen that vlog of fucking had like 100 cameras in the back.
Yeah, and they're all broken. Like that's the saddest thing I've ever seen in my life.
But topic of today is what I really wanted to get into. We already actually covered a little bit and I didn't even have to tell you guys what we're talking about. So what I wanted to talk about and send out was giving the best advice. And for addressing that, I wanted to say for basically our niche and for the audience listening, if you want to get started into like, say, Jesse's going to college or university, he can explain like what to look forward to or what to look into and kind of give you advice on that, or fitness, vlogging, podcasting, really anything that we are into. We want to give advice to you guys and kind of explain our side of the story and how to get started and all this stuff. But I wanted to really get started into Jesse kind of explaining like what to look into when you're wanting to be going to college or university. I want you to kind of tell people like what to look forward to and what kind of to get your head around when you're getting started.
Okay. So I would say like, if you're in high school now, if you're listening, which would be interesting if we have high school listeners, it's kind of cool. You would want to like, just like back it up. Like before you figure out where you want to go to school, I would take, which I wish I would have done, I didn't do this, but if I had to redo it, I would take your ACT or SAT sophomore year of high school to figure out where you are. And then once you do that, you have room to grow and room to figure out what you need to focus on and what you don't need to focus on and all that good stuff. That way you take it again and be more prepared. And then after you kind of figure that out and you do well, like don't be afraid to ask for help either, because you're going to have to take that test in order to get into colleges and colleges require it and all that good stuff. Figure out what, I'm not going to say what you want to go to school for, But I mean, that helps. But I would say figure out why you think you want to go to a certain school and kind of have your pool of schools that you want to go to and that you want to apply to. Applying to colleges is expensive. Most of them will require a $30 application fee on top of sending your SAT or ACT scores to all the colleges, which also costs money if you don't do it beforehand for free. And then once you kind of figure out what you want to do or what school you want to go to, obviously apply. Oh, but if we're talking like lifestyle and stuff too, I would always say that like you definitely want to go away for college if you can do it, because I think it's important for you as a person to grow on top of like not only just going to school, but like just create something different for yourself, and you learn a lot about yourself once you move far from where you're from. And I think it's important if you do decide to go to college. Like, not saying that I don't like regret it, but you know, it took a lot of trial and error in college of like figuring out what it is that I want to do. And I don't want to say a lot of wasted money, but definitely like some money was wasted. And it definitely takes something that you have to figure out what you want to do before you can continue to grind off of what it is that you're trying to accomplish with what you want to do with your life. But I think as a person, it's important to move. That way you can grow, and definitely don't not take an opportunity to go to college if you have one.
There you go. I want you to talk a little bit about too, for people, and I know you aren't doing it anymore, but tell some people exactly what it takes to be in the military and kind of what you should be looking into or looking forward to, because I know you've been doing this like your whole life, so you'd be good at kind of explaining that.
Okay, so, well, there's multiple ways that you can go into the military. I'm not a veteran, I've not served, but you have a couple different options. You can enlist right after high school, and get that GI Bill and go to college for free, son. How cool is that? You can do You can do what's called ROTC, which is Reserve Officer Training Corps, which you go to college, you get a bachelor's degree, but then within those 4 years, sometimes 3 years and sometimes 2 years on certain occasions, you can get a bachelor's degree. And then after you have a bachelor's degree, you commission after 4 years of training. So you have ROTC, which is what I was in. So you wake up 3 days a week and go to school and you train and you work out and have military discipline instilled inside of you. And at the other end of that, you become an officer in whatever branch that you choose. The caveat is like you have to, for the Air Force, I'm not going to speak for other branches because I don't know the process as well, but for the Air Force, you have to take what's called AFOQT, your sophomore year, which is called an Air Force Officer Qualification Test. And you can only take it twice in your lifetime. And that basically is showing the Air Force. It's like an ACT on steroids. And after you take that, you have to go to what's called field training, which is super exciting that all of my former flight mates that I was in ROTC with, they all got selected for field training this upcoming summer. So congratulations to that class of Detachment 155, University of Miami. I'm really proud of you all. I'm really excited to hear that you guys are all going to field training, and that's awesome. So keep grinding. But once you pass field training, you have to just keep going, and you're going to be put into leadership positions, and you're supposed to be able to communicate effectively and have leadership roles that train you to become a leader in the military. And then you can go off and be an officer in the military. And your other option is what's called, depending on the branch, it's either officer training school, or officer candidate school. And officer candidate school is basically like you didn't do ROTC, but after you graduate with a bachelor's degree, you can apply to go into the Air Force or the military, or the Army, Marines, Navy, Coast Guard, whatever, as an officer, because you already have a bachelor's degree. But it's harder and more selective to do it that way. But I think it depends like on what do you want to do. It's important for you to get experience in that field. So like say that you want to go into the military and you want to be a doctor or a nurse. So after you graduate from school and you don't do ROTC, be a nurse for X amount of years and build experience. And then that way you're more likely to be selected because the military is like, oh, you're already trained and you already have a job. You know what you're doing. I don't have to pay money to train you and make you a better nurse. And you already know how to do all that stuff. So like, hey, put me in coach. That's kind of how OCS works to my knowledge. And then, yeah, that's pretty much it.
No, that's good, man. That's a lot of advice for, you know, just because you know exactly what to say because you've done it before. So in my opinion, that's great advice for people that are rookies and really wanting to get into the military, in my opinion.
I wouldn't have said that was advice. I would have kind of just said that that was how the process works.
Well, that's what I mean. You're giving advice to people to kind of let them know exactly what the process is.
Yeah, that's true.
But I was going to say too, speaking of the military and veterans, last week I was at the week before I was at Golden Corral, and I go in there and I'm just eating. I'm not really paying attention. Then I look up and there's a guy across from me, and he on his hat says World War II veteran, and he's an older guy. So, I mean, obviously he probably was in the World War II, and like, that's really, cause I'm not from the US, right? But I was in the US because that's where Golden Corral, I don't know if you've heard of Golden Corral.
I know exactly what the fuck Golden Corral is, player.
Okay. Well, Golden Corral is not a Canadian buffet. It's all America. It's only in America. So when I went there, I seen a veteran, and that's pretty awesome. Like I see them here and there, never really in Canada. It's mostly in the US. And it was pretty awesome to like kind of approach him and see him and just be like, man, this is amazing. Like what you did for the country and stuff. It's awesome. Like seeing people that are older and they're wearing the hats and they're going out. Like it's awesome because you got to respect that 100%.
Oh yeah. No, I remember any time like, I love talking to veterans. I think it's the coolest fucking thing because you never know what kind of stories they're going to tell you.
As soon as I see an older person wearing anything that's veteran, World War II, whatever, like that's, it just gives me, because my grandpa was in World War II, and like it gives me flashbacks like, man, this fucking guy just saved the entire country. Like it doesn't matter if it took a million veterans to do it. It's like you were a part of it. You know, and like you saved the country, you're helping out the country. It's like, that's amazing for what you do.
Yeah. I love talking to veterans. I remember one time I was at the gym and I ran into this guy, and, have you ever seen the movie American Sniper?
I did. Yes. Years ago when it came out.
Right. So, you know, the story behind Chris Kyle and all that nonsense, or not really nonsense, all of that crazy stuff.
I'm going to be honest. I don't really remember the entire movie, but I did see it.
Okay. Well, either way, back home where I'm from, Navy veteran and author, entrepreneur, awesome, badass, amazing gentleman, Kevin Lace. He was a Navy SEAL that served in the same platoon as Jocko Willink, you know, the lo and behold, and Chris Kyle himself. And Kevin, he lives in my hometown now, and he has a business, and he works out at my gym that I grew up working out at, and he's a super inspirational guy. And he wrote a book called The Last Punisher, a real true story of Sniper. Actually, I think I have the book with me. It's somewhere in my room. I know it is. But he signed it for me, and I love working out with him every time I get a chance and talking to him, seeing how he's doing. But he's always killing it. But yeah.
No, that's awesome. I really wish I could see more of these guys around, but in Canada, you rarely see veterans just walking around or chilling somewhere. I don't know. I always see it in the US.
Yeah, it is. You're right. I mean, I from my understanding, I don't think Canada's as I don't know, outlandish about their military like the United States is.
Yeah, and I always see these weird fucking aircrafts in the sky sometimes. Like I remember last summer, twice, I seen, what are those helicopters that have two propellers on it?
Ospreys or Pavlos.
Yeah, I don't know, but it had like it was a helicopter, and you see them in Call of Duty. Like I know that they're always in the Call of Duty games, but I seen it last year. Literally, it was hanging low, flying so slow over the city, and it was weird, but it was kind of scary at the same time because it's like, why are they like, why is this helicopter doing this? Like it was just circling the city, just going back and forth, low and slow. And then another thing was there was a fucking plane, like an aircraft in the sky, and it was again hanging low, like it looked like it was about to hit buildings. That's how low it was, and it was a big black plane. Like it wasn't like just a normal fucking 747 aircraft that takes people on the plane. It was a big like military black plane, and it was just hanging low, like flying through the city, like not even giving a shit. But it was weird.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. They the best is when the Ospreys fly down the beach down here, or not down here, but back home. That's really cool to see, especially with the Blue Angels when they fly. If you've never seen the United States Navy Blue Angels, then everybody should do that before they die.
Yeah, I've seen the they haven't done it. Well, they do it every year for the exhibition, but I think it is the Blue Angels. They fly and make like there's like 10 planes that go together and like do tricks in the air or whatever. Every year at the exhibition they do that.
Oh, okay. Maybe they do fly in Canada, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the bluebirds or whatever they're called. I think they're called bluebirds.
Oh, well, if you're thinking of bluebirds, I'm saying Blue Angels. It's not the same thing.
I think they're bluebirds or blue balls, one of the two.
Oh, yeah. No. Definitely not.
No, but I get this question asked a lot, and I know I've talked about it a couple times on the podcast, and I just get this question asked a lot, like not a day-to-day, but a weekly basis, and it's about vlogging. And I really want to kind of touch on the subject a little bit because I want whoever's asking these questions, I want you guys to listen carefully and just kind of hopefully you're listening to the podcast because this will answer your questions, is how to be a successful vlogger. And again, I am nowhere near a massive YouTuber or anywhere like big vlogger. I just kind of know from watching vloggers and kind of getting advice from other vloggers and whatever, watching videos. So 7 methods that really can help you and that are helping me is learning to use social media, because when you start YouTube, you have to keep up on your audience, updating on your life. So whether it's Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, like you want to make sure that you're up to date on your life, because vlogging is kind of taking your life with you behind a lens, and people want to see that, and they're not going to know what you're doing if you're not kind of telling them what you're doing and updating them. So staying consistent. Another one is learning to edit videos. This is a good one for Jesse, because I think one of the reasons why you haven't started YouTube is from editing. And by the way, did you like, let's just talk about this for a second. Did you ever figure out that, that transition on your video?
No.
Didn't look it up or nothing?
No, I did. I just couldn't figure it out.
That's weird, because I'm literally like, I'm actually in the process of editing a video that's going to go live today, and I've been using it and it's been working. That's so weird. I don't understand why that doesn't work.
Yeah. I just haven't really messed with it too much because I was focused on the 2 exams that I had.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Just do what you got to do. So anyway, yeah, learning how to edit your videos. Any software, really, there's a lot of free, easy softwares. You don't got to pay for a software to edit your videos. You can easily just use, I think it's, there's a basic one on your computer. There's a DaVinci Resolve, which is free. Use that. Learn how to edit. Takes time, but learn. Upload your videos around. So if you guys have a full-time job or a part-time job, part-time obviously would be easier, but even if you have a full-time job, upload your videos around your job. So even if you're working full time, there's always that schedule where you can make up, like instead of coming home, sitting down on your ass and watching Netflix or, you know, just doing something that's not productive and you're really into YouTube, learn your way around YouTube, edit your videos, film. So work around your job. This is a really important one, listening to your audience. So if you're uploading videos consistently and you have comments down below, and there's people that are being like, hey, can you do a video like this? Or hey, on your next video, can you do something like this? Like comment, listen to your audience, heart their comments, like their comments, pin their comments. So do stuff like that so you can engage and increase more value into YouTube and into, you know, your videos and audience as well. And then this is kind of similar, is become a yes man. So if people are commenting down below and they're commenting the same stuff and they want you to do a video and you're not doing it, you're going to lose subscribers and you're going to lose a following and no one's going to be interested in your stuff. I know it sounds crazy, but when you have a low following like me on YouTube and you're uploading videos and no one's liking your shit and you're not getting views, but you're getting views on a video and people are wanting you to do more of that, do it. Even if you don't really enjoy it, just do it because you're going to build a following and eventually people are going to love exactly what you love to do. It's just the way YouTube is. Another one is do not listen to haters. So even though people are going to comment down below bullshitting everything that you do, don't listen to them. Just don't even if you aren't the person or you are the person kind of like FousseyTube to read comments and stop YouTube because of that, don't do that. Just learn to, you know, stay in your own lane and just kind of focus on videos and focus on you. If people are commenting negativity, don't comment back and, you know, swear at them or say mean stuff because that's just going to like discover a really bad relationship with your audience. And then last one is build a vlogging community. So if you want to get into collaborations or even just like vlogging with friends, build a community like that, or even just like kind of post on Reddit, post on Instagram, post on Snapchat, Facebook for every vlog that you post, or even there's like pages on Facebook. When you're done a vlog, post on like YouTube, Facebook pages. Which is good, like Reddit, because that's what I do. And it really builds a community with people and it helps people kind of get into your space of YouTube. And that's how you build more of your channel and more of an audience. I mean, I only have 130 subscribers and I've been doing it for almost 2 years. So that's kind of how hard it is to build an audience unless you have somebody to collaborate with thousands or millions of subscribers to boost. I haven't had that yet. I would love to get that. But at the same time, I really want to build my audience myself. So that's kind of just tips from me that I'm working on myself. But of course you can get advice from anybody. I'm sure other people would love to listen to Casey Neistat's advice because he's got over 10 million subscribers. So, I mean, it's really either or.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I personally, like, I think Casey Neistat's videos are not as good as, Peter's. But like, I don't know. He just has a lot of subscribers. It's crazy.
Yeah, Peter just started. Like, he's only been on YouTube, I believe, 2 years, 3 years. He hasn't been on that long. And again, I'm going to say it again. He blew up because of Casey. Casey helped him get big following because he did a collaboration with Casey. And then Casey obviously had, I think, 7 or 8 million subs at the time. So it kind of helped Peter in that way. And then obviously with his editing, his color grading, and, you know, how good he is as a filmmaker, he built his channel among that. So
yeah, of course. Do you think, I liked your advice. I think it's very beneficial. It makes a lot of sense to a lot of people. I just lost my train of thought, man, I blanked. There it goes.
You said that my advice was really good. So
right now I had another point though. I just don't remember what it was. And
oh, what did it have to do with?
It had to do with YouTube, but so just something else about Peter and Casey, but I don't remember what it was. Damn.
We'll take your time. Don't rush if you need to think of it.
Just keep going, though. It'll come back. We're good. Everything's going to be okay.
Okay. I'll just keep talking and then just keep thinking. Open your eyes.
We'll let the sunlight in my room. Maybe it'll little palm tree action.
Yeah, palm trees. There you go. Positivity. that's like something that really fucking helped me. Like, palm trees is like a push for me. Like, that's why I really loved being in the atmosphere when I was in Florida. Like, waking up in the morning, like, was amazing. Like, waking up on a sunny day, palm trees in the like everywhere, and blue skies, nice and warm, like, it was motivation to me. So it really helped me. But
you just gotta come back down in the middle of the summer when it's pouring down rain all day, every day, like it's nothing. And then you're like, yeah, fuck this place.
Yeah, because it's a rainforest. But I would love to come back down, and just in the summertime, I wouldn't even care. Even like in the winter, I would like to come back down actually in the wintertime. That'd be a vibe.
Yeah?
Yeah, that'd be fun. Like, we could kind of do the same dates, like January, February, I don't know, somewhere around there. But
yeah, next year, maybe we'll see.
Yeah. Did you think of it yet or no?
No, I got nothing.
All right. No big deal. Why don't you talk about people that are wanting to get into photography, if you want to give a little bit of advice on that. You don't have to if you don't really want to, but if you want to give advice on like how getting into photography for people that want to.
You just got to pick up a camera. That's about it. You're not going to know your style until you figure it out. Like I guess that's advice. You don't know what kind of photography intrigues you until you try a bunch of shit and figure out what you like the most. I'm still doing that. I still don't know exactly everything that I want to shoot, or that's kind of like my niche. Like I follow one photographer who has two separate Instagram pages for his for different forms of photography. Like I'm not even like that. But some people are just like, once you figure it out, you'll know. I just haven't figured that out, but you just got to pick up a camera and play with it. And then once you get the feel for it, you'll understand what it is that you want to shoot and what you like. And you just have to, you know, keep doing what you're doing. It just also depends on the amount of variables that you have of like what you want to shoot, if you want to do it for a living. Like I hope to soon eventually. But I mean, like in terms of picking up for a camera, it's, you just got to do it. There's no ifs, ands, whats, or buts about it. My first camera was a G7X Mark II. It's pretty expensive, but it's a great foundation. There's a lot packed into that camera that is pretty beneficial, and it has a lot of tools that you can utilize that you can do a lot with. I'm not going to sell mine. I don't think I love it. It's a great camera to have just in case, you know, a quick just in case for those moments that I can't sneak my DSLR into a music fest. I have to bring my small camera, stuff like that. But there's a lot of functionality in it that helped me kind of figure out like, okay, this is what I need for what I want to do. Like I want to be an event photographer and a DJ photographer for concerts and music shows and stuff like that. You just need a camera with low light and all that good stuff. So, or low light capabilities. So that kind of, if you buy a DSLR that goes into like the lenses and stuff that you have to pay for. So that's why I would recommend a Canon G7X Mark II is like a really great beginning week camera. Yeah, it's super expensive. And I bought it on my Amazon credit card, which is like not the best financial decision to make ever. Cause like, I wouldn't do that again. So I wouldn't recommend you do that, but it definitely will help you build a better foundation for what you're trying to shoot for. And it'll help you grow and see your options so that it will be making an easier decision when it comes to buying another camera. So like right now I also shoot a Canon EOS Rebel SL2, and it's a very solid beginner DSLR, and I love it, and it's a great little camera. But if you want to pick up photography, you just have to do it, and you'll learn as you go, obviously. But the more you practice, the more you'll get better at it, and you'll find your own niche. It'll take time, but you just got to be patient with it.
Yeah, that's really like anything and everything. Just want to start and be patient. But yeah, photography is definitely not for everybody. Like not everybody really cares about photography. It's a very, I think photography is for a very small crowd. And to like, if you love life and love nature or love just taking photos in general, I think photography is a very strong, I wouldn't say it's a sport. It's not a sport. I wouldn't say it's a sport. That's what I'm trying to say. Because some people probably might think photography is a sport. I don't know. You take pictures and then you sprint with the camera to get the another picture, you know?
Sure.
But no, I wouldn't say photography is for everybody, but it's definitely for a smaller crowd. Because I don't know a lot of photographers myself, and I know a lot of people. And I never go out and I'll see like people taking pictures for models, but I don't just go around and I just see photographers everywhere. It'll be vloggers.
Yeah, there's a lot of those.
Yeah, oh, definitely, especially down here. No, but that's good advice. So then now people will understand how to really start.
I mean, yeah, it's pretty all right.
One that this is a big strength for me, and also it can be a strength for Jesse too, is getting started into fitness. And same with vlogging and YouTube. I get this question a lot with people is, how do you get started? What's the best way to get started? You know, what kind of workouts should you do? And honestly, it's all really into inner motivation. And kind of, if you have somebody that you look up to or someone that you watch and you're really into that person, like for me, I say it a lot, Floyd Mayweather, it could help you start. But if you're just looking to lose some, just looking to lose some weight or inches or something like that, it really all starts in self-motivation and maybe just going for walks or getting out there, getting into a gym and kind of looking into a fitness routine. So in the beginning, you're really going to want to design your own fitness program. So you're eating, scheduling, you really, really, really want to get sleep. Sleep is probably the most important thing, especially when you're getting into fitness, because if you don't sleep properly, you're not going to perform properly. Hence, you're never going to get motivated. So definitely, definitely get good sleep, 7 to 8 hours a day. Definitely eat great, good meals. Cook instead of going out to eat, cook your own meals. Start slowly and build your way up gradually. Give yourself plenty of time to warm up and cool down with easy walking or gentle stretching, stuff like that. That's stuff that I like to do is stretching and warm up before I work out. Be creative with your workouts, because if you don't be creative, and this is kind of how it all started with me when I first started getting into fitness, I just jumped into the most highest level of fitness possible, which was boxing, and just killed myself in the beginning, which was, I guess, a good thing because now I'm at the level that I am now, but it isn't for everybody because I've lost clients doing that. Is I would get clients and I'm so used of like athletic elite training that I would be like, okay, do this. And then they wouldn't want to come back because it was just so hard. And I don't regret it, but I learned from it. I learned that, you know, it's not for everybody. So kind of start slow with people. And that's kind of how you want to do it as well, is be creative, start slow. Don't excel to the most elite workouts. Listen to your body. That's another thing. And you want to definitely, like, if there's something that's not feeling right, don't do it. Like if you're running or if you're doing some interval training in the gym or you're starting too high, if you hear cracks, like listen to that, because that's not going to be a good thing. It's just like a car. If you're driving your car down the road or on the highway and you hear some bullshit that's happening, like you're hearing some noises that you don't like when Jesse was driving on the highway, his fucking steering wheel was shaking, like, you know, that's not good. So if your body's shaking or you're feeling like dizzy or you start feeling like you're going to pass out, don't keep going. So like literally just stop, take a breath, take a breather, drink some water, relax. You know, it's not, no one's going to fucking make fun of you for that stuff. It's, you know, fitness is really all about your zone. It doesn't matter how you do it. It's all about just performing the best you possibly can and doing the workouts that are going to perform the best for you, not for other people, for you. And that's something that I've learned over the years. Another thing is be flexible. So not being flexible and stretching, like kind of back to the YouTube thing, being flexible, like around your job, around your work. You want to make sure that if you're really starting to get into fitness, don't be that type of person that says, oh, I can't go to the gym today. I got to work, you know, from 7 a.m. till 3 or 4, you know, and I'm tired. That shouldn't be an excuse, because what are you going to do after 3 o'clock in the afternoon until you go to bed, say 10, 11 o'clock? Probably nothing. So, you know, make time for yourself. If you don't make time, it's never going to happen. And your dreams of having the best body or being in the best shape is going to fail. One of my best advice to give to people as well is just step your foot into the world. You know, don't be scared to do something new, because that's something that I really try to get out of my comfort zone. I remember when I was in high school, I wasn't an athlete at all. And after I got out of high school, it just quickly changed. I really wanted to be an athlete. I really wanted to be in great shape, and I did it. And if you send positive vibes to the universe, they're going to come right back to you. So that's all you have to do, is just tell yourself you can do it.
You know?
There you go.
Is that loud enough for you?
That was great.
Yeah. Okay. I was like waiting for you to end it on a high note so I could do that.
So that's just a little bit of advice. There's tons and tons. I could talk about this for hours, but I'm not about to do that. That's just like the key things to get you guys started and ball rolling on your feet.
Yeah. I think it's important to figure out. I don't know about you, but I'm a research guy. Like, I love figuring out a bunch of shit and learning and just finding out everything I possibly can on the interwebs about whatever it is that I'm looking up, just to help me. So yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, and there's always
good, be patient.
Always, Yeah, there's always going to be a time of lack of motivation too. Like, I think working out and fitness is probably the hardest thing to get started. Like, probably the hardest thing to do, because there's so many people that just, they just say it. It's just talkative. It's people that just talk about it, but it never happens, you know? Like, it's, I think, I don't really know exactly what, I don't have all the answers on why people don't want to start, but I just think it's a lack of something new, and it's kind of not believing in themselves, I guess, or just thinking that they can't do it. I'm not sure, or they're scared. That's one of the reasons what I think is that people are just scared to kind of start.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't call it a scared thing. Cause like, I'm not scared to go to the gym. I mean, I guess it depends on what you mean by scared.
I'm talking scared. Like, they're just scared to do something new. Like, oh, it's going to be so hard. I'm going to have to do all this, get food. I'm going to have to start, making more time for myself, or just, you know, it's just something new to people, right? Like, when I started YouTube, I was scared to get started.
Yeah, I guess that would make sense. I don't know. I wouldn't say I'm scared to go to the gym, but I'm definitely more scared to have a YouTube channel. It's all about perception and shit, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah. There's definitely ways around it. And I mean, if you have to hire a personal trainer to help you, I go ahead. I never really myself needed one. When I was a kid, about 12, 13 years old, my mom forced me to grab a personal trainer. So if she wanted to spend $1,000 for however many sessions, then she did that. But honestly, I myself wouldn't need a personal trainer to, even though I guess I don't really call myself a personal trainer, even though I train people one-on-one, I don't really kind of call myself a personal trainer. But to get started, I wouldn't really recommend one, but if you need one, then go ahead, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's it. So. No, it's good. I like it. I mean, there's not much more you can say, you know, sometimes.
No, there's not really much more you can say. We kind of adjusted everything in this conversation, unless you have any other advice you'd like to address to people.
No, I mean, I think there's enough resources out there that you can figure out. Like, but I think it's important to know how you want to get started, and better yet, just to do it, just to start. And once you start, you know, the world will open up for you, and you just go from there.
All right, what are the book of quotes today, my sushi guy?
Book is open. The book says, "You were born to win, but to be a winner, you must plan to win, prepare to win, and expect to win." The book is closed. The book is spoken.
If you didn't
catch that, I'm not repeating it because I closed the book and I don't know what fucking page that was on.
Wait, what was it again? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, good luck. You can fly down here and find it yourself.
All right. Anyways, thank you guys so much for listening to another amazing podcast with Chris and Jesse. Again, my name is Chris. Jesse is too across the world. So
yeah, I'm in China now.
Yeah, but he's in Beijing, Hong Kong.
It's,
you know,
fucking 3 a.m. here, and this guy's like, dude, podcast. And I'm like, yeah, no.
You guys can follow me on all of my social media platforms. First, I will address.
Shamelessly plug my YouTube channel. Subscribe if you're new at Chris Abate, and my Snapchat is just cj.abate, and then my Instagram. Wait.
Shut up!
Back up. Your Snapchat is Kid Abate, and your Instagram is cj.abate. You're welcome.
All right, thank you. And then you guys can go follow Jesse on his social media platforms, which he does not have. So thank you guys for listening. Have a great day. Oh man, go ahead. JGam Photos is his Instagram.
Yeah, it's your boy, son. JGam Photos, holla at me. Now I'm up to over 100 followers. I'm excited.
That's how it starts.
Like, I'm just ready to keep growing and have all these followers and take over the world, you know?
And then go make sure you go follow him on his other Instagram page. Jesse
what? Oh, my other Instagram is
Jesse G1022.
That's my personality Instagram, son.
There you go.
So, yeet. All right, peeps. It's been lit. Stay tuned for the next episode. We'll be talking about – what are we talking about the next episode?
The next episode? You guys are just going to have to wait. It's very special, though.
Oh, okay, good. That's what I was waiting for you
here. All right. You're right. Have a great
May.
Yeah, I can never ever find the right words, and there's no way this is real life. There's no telling you're the right girl, so I can only say that it feels right. It feels right, it feels right, yeah. I can only say that it feels right.